Imagine holding the master key to 90% of the Fortune 500. But you didn't have to steal it.
Right.
You didn't have to break a window or pick a lock. The system just looked at you, got confused, and willingly handed over the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah, it's a terrifying scenario.
Welcome to your weekend intelligence briefing. We know you're here because you want to stay sharply informed without drowning in the, you know, the noise of the 24/7 news cycle. Today, we're diving into a late-night intelligence briefing from the Tech and Game Desk, dated August 21st, 2026.
And this brief, it really reveals how the absolute foundation of digital trust is cracking.
Exactly. We're looking at a fundamental stress test of identity across entirely different sectors of the global economy.
Yeah, this briefing synthesizes raw data from global server farms, Wall Street boardrooms, and even federal courtrooms. It shows us this highly interconnected crisis.
And what's wild is how these crises range from the most complex nation-state level coding flaws to just, well, a really convincing phone call.
That's the scariest part, honestly.
We're going to explore what happens when digital identity completely breaks down. Okay, let's unpack this. If we're going to talk about the collapse of digital trust, we have to start at the bedrock.
We do.
And for 90% of the global economy, that bedrock is Microsoft Entra ID.
Which you might remember under its old name, Azure Active Directory.
Right.
The briefing confirms active in the wild exploitation of a vulnerability cataloged as CVE-2026-69836. And this flaw has been assigned a CVSS score of 10.0.
Wow. A 10.0 out of 10. That's the absolute maximum severity score a vulnerability can receive on the Common Vulnerability Scoring System, right?
It literally doesn't get worse than that. It's a nightmare scenario.
I mean, to understand the gravity here, you have to look at the scale of Entra ID. This is the foundational identity and access management backbone for the global enterprise landscape.
Exactly. We're talking about the platform that governs session authorization and multi-factor access protocols for critical defense industrial bases.
International financial institutions, too.
Yes, and civilian governmental ministries. If this platform has a flawless 10.0 vulnerability, it means the digital front door for the global economy is wide open.
So how does a flawless system just break? I mean, how is this exploit actually working under the hood?
Well, the forensic architectural analysis points to a root flaw within the core microservices that parse and validate federated identity tokens.
Okay, parsing tokens.
Specifically, it involves SAML-L 2.0 assertions and OAuth 2.0 bearer token exchanges.
Gotcha.
When a client initiates a federated single sign-on handshake, the back-end router has to parse incoming XML-based responses. But there's an unsafe pointer arithmetic flaw during the deserialization of the schema attributes.
Whoa, hold on. Let me make sure I'm getting this, because that is a massive wall of technical jargon.
Fair enough, yeah.
Let's talk about deserialization. Is this basically like unpacking a tightly sealed shipping crate?
That's a good way to look at it, yeah.
So the system is so focused on unpacking the data that it doesn't realize the attacker packed the crate so full that it bursts open, spilling malicious instructions directly into the system's brain.
That's a highly accurate way to visualize the buffer overflow.
Okay, phew.
The system allocates a specific amount of memory for that crate. When the crate bursts, the malicious code spills into adjacent memory areas where the core rules of the system live.
Ix.
It triggers an out-of-bounds memory corruption. And this allows the attacker to execute arbitrary shellcode directly inside the high-privilege identity routing process.
So they're basically inside the brain of the system at that point.
Exactly. And once they are operating inside that brain, they can forge valid cryptographic token signing keys.
It's like a master locksmith being hypnotized into handing out permanent invisible skeleton keys to anyone who asks.
I like that analogy.
You don't even need to pick the lock anymore. The locksmith is just handing you a key that opens every single door in the building.
Right. And in the cybersecurity world, they call these golden SAML signing certificates.
Golden SAML. Okay.
The Microsoft Threat Intelligence Center confirmed that sophisticated nation-state advanced persistent threat syndicates, or APTs, have already weaponized this zero-day in cyber espionage operations.
Wait. When you say they bypass all tenant-level conditional access policies, tenant just means a company-specific private slice of Microsoft's cloud, right?
Yes, exactly. Think of Microsoft's cloud as a massive apartment building.
Okay.
Every corporation rents an apartment. Or a tenant. The golden SAML key lets attackers bypass the biometric checks, the hardware-bound multi-factor authentication, everything protecting that specific apartment.
That is wild.
And worse, they do all of this without generating localized event logs in a customer's security platform.
So they're completely invisible.
Yep. The system literally thinks a highly privileged, authorized administrator is just doing their job.
But here's where I'm confused. The briefing mentions that because Entra ID is a hyperscale software as a service architecture, Microsoft already deployed silent cloud-side hotfixes globally.
That's right, they did.
We didn't have to download a patch or reboot our servers. So if the patch was deployed globally in the cloud and the memory flaw is fixed, aren't we safe? Is the door closed? I mean, or is the ghost already in the house?
What's fascinating here is that patching the vulnerability only fixes the lock on the front door.
No.
It doesn't kick out the intruders who already walked inside and hid in the basement. Global cybersecurity authorities like CISA and the UK's National Cybersecurity Center have issued urgent directives making retroactive tenant auditing absolutely mandatory.
Because the attackers could have already established persistent backdoors before the hotfix ever went live.
Exactly. Security operations centers must now aggressively hunt for anomalous service principal registrations.
What does that mean for the average security team?
Well, think of service principals like automated employee badges for software applications. Attackers use that golden SAML key to create a quiet secondary automated badge. That fake badge is still active even after Microsoft patched the original memory corruption flaw. The ghost is very much still in the house until you physically hunt down that unauthorized badge and destroy it.
Which means every major corporation on Earth is currently scrambling to audit their active oath grants and root directory credentials.
It's a massive, invisible cleanup operation.
Yeah, but while nation states are out there using highly complex 10.0 memory corruption 0 days to bypass identity platforms, financially motivated syndicates are proving you can bypass identity just by picking up the phone.
Which brings us to Wall Street, and honestly, one of the most alarming corporate breaches of the year.
Yeah. Introduce Apollo for us.
Apollo Global Management is a preeminent alternative asset management and private equity behemoth. They oversee more than $700 billion in assets, and they have formally confirmed a network intrusion.
$700 billion.
Yeah.
You would assume a firm managing that much capital has a digital fortress that rivals the Pentagon.
You think so. They certainly have the perimeter defenses, but the threat actors didn't bother trying to hack a firewall.
Right. They bypassed the technology entirely.
Exactly. They hacked the human element. The intrusion is aligned with the trade craft of the Scattered Spider Syndicate, also known as UNC-3944.
Scattered Spider?
Yeah. They've been busy.
Very busy. And their attack vector was shockingly analog in its delivery, but highly sophisticated in its technology. They targeted the internal IT help desk.
Using voice phishing, or vishing, combined with AI-generated voice cloning.
Yes.
And for the listener, you know, this isn't just about Wall Street billionaires losing some deal data. If you have a pension or a 401k tied up in these alternative assets, a fake voice on a Tuesday afternoon could literally impact your retirement.
That's a great point. The human psychology at play here is just ruthless. The attackers cloned the voices of corporate executives.
It's crazy how fast that technology evolved.
We're at a point in 2026 where a 3-second audio sample from an earnings call or YouTube interview is enough to generate a flawless real-time voice clone. 3 seconds.
Just 3 seconds. They manipulated the help desk staff into resetting multi-factor authentication tokens and issuing valid single sign-on credentials.
It's brilliant and terrifying because it exploits our natural desire to be helpful.
Exactly.
You're a help desk worker. You get a call from a frantic senior executive. It sounds exactly like them. The cadence, the tone, the subtle breathing. And they are demanding you reset their access because they're locked out ahead of a massive market-moving deal.
Yep. The pressure is immense.
You want to do your job, so you reset the MFA. And just like that, the attackers are inside the enterprise identity provider.
And once they're inside, they gained access to cloud collaboration platforms, internal SharePoint repositories, and centralized SaaS databases.
And they didn't just take small stuff, right?
Oh, no. What they exfiltrated essentially represents the crown jewels of a private equity firm. We're talking about non-public mergers and acquisitions deal pipelines, proprietary leveraged buyout financial models, and confidential non-disclosure agreements.
They also stole the demographic portfolios of ultra-high net worth individual limited partners.
The fallout from this is astronomical.
I mean, the briefing details severe systemic market risks. If attackers have pre-deal valuations and confidential restructuring strategies, the potential for unauthorized insider trading and front-running the stock market is massive.
Absolutely massive.
You could short a company right before Apollo announces they're walking away from an acquisition.
Not to mention the extortion aspect. The threat actors are demanding tens of millions of dollars just to keep these deals secret.
And they can't just sweep it under the rug anymore.
No. The regulatory pressure forces the victim's hand. Under the SEC's Item 1.E5 of Form 8K, public companies have a mandatory 4-day window to report material cyber incidents.
Right.
When a breach impacts the integrity of global corporate acquisitions, the mandatory disclosure alone causes devastating market volatility.
So what does this all mean? I mean, Wall Street spends hundreds of millions of dollars on hybrid perimeter defenses, zero-trust architectures, and advanced endpoint monitoring, only to be completely undone by a fake phone call.
It's ironic, isn't it?
Very. If a $700 billion firm can have its most sensitive pre-deal intelligence stolen by an AI voice clone, how does any enterprise trust human verification anymore?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it exposes the fundamental flaw in how we handle endpoint security.
How so?
Well, Scattered Spider's tradecraft is so incredibly effective because they operate entirely within authenticated browser sessions and native cloud APIs.
Right, because EDRs, or endpoint detection and response tools, are basically like security guards checking people for weapons, right?
That's exactly it.
But the Apollo attackers didn't bring weapons. They wore the CEO suit and used his key card to legally walk out the front door with the filing cabinets.
That is the core issue. Traditional EDR agents are practically useless here because they are looking for malware or anomalous code execution.
They aren't looking for legitimate logins.
Exactly. They are not designed to stop a user who has a valid login and an authenticated session token from downloading files from a SharePoint drive.
Yeah, it looks like normal work.
Right. The administrative tools they use to synchronize bulk financial records to off-site staging servers were entirely legitimate Microsoft tools. The call is coming from inside the house, using the house's own phone.
So how do you actually stop it? If the human ear can't distinguish an AI clone from the real CEO, what's the defense?
The only viable mitigation moving forward, and Apollo is already mandating this across all administrative and deal-making personnel, is the implementation of hardware-bound FIDO2 security keys.
Hardware keys, okay.
You have to remove the human ability to be tricked into handing over a code.
Meaning, instead of the system texting you a 6-digit code that you can read out loud to a fake IT guy on the phone, the system requires a physical piece of hardware.
Right. A hardware key requires physical presence. It uses a cryptographic challenge response mechanism that happens locally on the device.
So you literally have to push a button on a piece of plastic.
Exactly. It cannot be fished over a phone call, no matter how convincing the AI voice is, because the human user doesn't even know the cryptographic secret being exchanged. It relies on mathematics, not human judgment.
It's a harsh reality check. But while Apollo's attackers were stealing financial data to gain market leverage, another group of attackers recently stole intellectual property to execute a decentralized finance scam.
That's right.
And now the victims of that leak are weaponizing the law to hunt them down.
We're shifting to the aggressive legal phase of the Grand Theft Auto Fix leak.
Oh, man, this one is crazy.
Take-Two Interactive, working with Rockstar Games, is not taking this lying down. They have initiated proceedings in United States District Court against the threat actor syndicate operating under the name CyberLeak.
And this wasn't just a minor leak of concept art, right? Over a 72-hour window, CyberLeak dropped high-resolution, uncompressed video captures of an internal playable debug build of GTA 6.
Yep, raw development footage.
This was running on PlayStation 5 Pro and Xbox Series X development kits. The details in the briefing are incredible.
They really are. Graphics rendering specialists analyzed the telemetry and confirmed it was an authentic mid-2025 milestone compiler branch of the proprietary Rage 9 engine.
The physics demonstrations alone are mind-blowing to visualize. They showed advanced material degradation, literally billet spalling and stress fractures procedurally generating along masonry surfaces when ballistic rounds hit reinforced concrete.
The attention to detail is staggering.
They showed real-time vehicle refueling animations using interactive fuel nozzles at Vice City service stations and the volumetric atmospheric scattering.
Right, the weather systems.
It perfectly simulates the dynamic humidity and tropical storm fronts of the state of Leonida. This is proprietary, billion-dollar intellectual property laid bare on the internet.
It is. But the leak itself is only half the story, and frankly, the less legally perilous half.
Really? How so?
The breach escalated into a federal crime when CyberLeak attempted to monetize the frenzy. They broadcasted fraudulent claims that GTA 6 would feature native decentralized finance mechanisms, allowing in-game currency to be redeemed for US dollars and crypto.
Which was a total fabrication designed entirely to pump a scam.
Exactly. They launched an unauthorized meme token on the Solana blockchain. By exploiting the massive public hype surrounding the leaked footage, they lured retail speculators into an orchestrated pump-and-dump liquidity trap.
Ouch.
On-chain forensic audits by Look On-Chain confirmed the syndicate extracted over $50,000 in illicit trading profits before maliciously draining the liquidity pool, leaving the retail investors with worthless tokens.
Which rightfully triggered a massive backlash from the community. The international consumer rights group Stop Killing Games, led by Ross Scott, came out and vehemently denounced the hackers.
And rightfully so.
Yeah, they were weaponizing gamer excitement and consumer sentiment to facilitate a predatory crypto extortion scheme. But here's where it gets really interesting. Take-Two's retaliation isn't just a standard cease and desist letter.
Not at all.
They secured expedited subpoenas under Section 512 of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act.
And this raises an important question about the evolution of digital rights litigation. The DMCA 512 subpoena is a highly specialized statutory mechanism.
Because usually these lawsuits take forever, right?
Yeah. Normally, to unmask a hacker, a company has to file a John Doe lawsuit, wait for a judge to review the merits, and spend months arguing in court just to get an IP address, by which time the hacker is long gone.
But Section 512 is basically a legal fast pass. It lets the copyright holder bypass the lawsuit entirely and force the service provider to hand over the data immediately.
It acts as a direct administrative lever. Take-Two served these demands directly to Microsoft and Discord, and they are forcing these platforms to surrender complete unmasked IPv4 and IPv6 connection logs, time-stamped account creation telemetry, OneDrive Enterprise storage metadata, Discord voice channel session recordings, hardware MAC addresses, and linked PayPal billing data.
Wow. They are essentially treating this not as a standard copyright strike, but as organized cybercrime.
Yes.
Are we seeing a brand new legal playbook here where gaming companies use intellectual property law as a high-speed backdoor to prosecute cryptocurrency wire fraud?
We are. Federal judges are showing an increased willingness to grant these expedited discovery orders when intellectual property infringement directly intersects with consumer financial fraud.
So they're combining the two crimes to speed up the process.
Exactly. By bridging unauthorized video hosting the copyright infringement directly to fraudulent token generation events, Take-Two has fundamentally altered the legal landscape. They position the CyberLeak syndicate squarely within the purview of federal wire fraud statutes.
That completely alters the risk calculus for anyone thinking about trafficking in leak development builds.
It changes the game entirely.
Traditionally, leakers relied on those lengthy pre-trial jurisdictional delays you mentioned to cover their tracks, wipe their hard drives, or disappear into another jurisdiction.
But by using the 512H discovery mechanism, Take-Two circumvents those delays entirely. They are coordinating with the FBI Cyber Division to trace crypto exchange on-ramps based on the Discord and PayPal data.
This is moving so fast.
Legal analysts expect this compelled forensic data will rapidly erode the leaker's operational security, leading to immediate sealed indictments in federal court.
It is a massive warning shot to the entire ecosystem. You try to monetize our leaked game engine with a Solana meme coin, we will use federal subpoenas to pull your PayPal records and MC addresses through Discord before you even realize you're being hunted.
It really demonstrates that digital anonymity is incredibly fragile when corporate litigation counsel and federal forensics teams align their crosshairs on your infrastructure.
Which really brings us to the core synthesis of this entire deep dive. If you look at all three of these crises, the common thread running through the server farms, the private equity firms, and the gaming syndicates is the absolute fragility of digital identity.
Identity is the ultimate perimeter in 2026.
Yeah.
The perimeter is no longer a firewall you can buy and plug in. The perimeter is cryptographic verification, and it is under siege from every conceivable angle.
Whether it is a highly sophisticated memory corruption flaw in Microsoft's cloud parsing daemon, allowing nation states to forge invisible skeleton keys.
Or an AI voice clone convincing a helpful IT worker at Apollo to hand over the keys to a $700 billion kingdom.
Or even poor operational security leaving digital footprints in a Discord server that federal investigators can subpoena. Your digital identity is the only thing standing between security and total compromise.
The tools we use to verify who's on the other side of the screen are being outpaced by the tools designed to fake it.
Which leaves us with a lingering thought for you to ponder as you navigate the rest of your week. If AI voice cloning can seamlessly fool Fortune 500 IT departments, and highly complex identity platforms can be bypassed by forged XML tokens pushing too much data into a buffer, are we rapidly approaching a day where the digital economy is forced to abandon digital identity verification entirely?
It's a real possibility.
Will we have to retreat back to relying strictly on in-person physical hardware keys just to prove we are who we say we are? Just like needing to see the broken bone on an X-ray, we might need to hold the physical key in our hands to believe the door is actually secure.
You might not have a choice.
Keep questioning the digital world around you, stay curious, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.